This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Noah Adams. If you're heading out for some springtime skiing and you want a little extra vicarious tingle, take along Nick Paumgarten's article from the New Yorker magazine. Paumgarten is an accomplished skier from a family that found deep and steep snow fatally attractive. His great-grandfather died in an avalanche, so did one of his aunts. A great-aunt was killed by a runaway ski. Nick Paumgarten, the writer, tells these stories as part of a profile of Andrew McLean. In his early 40s, based in Utah, McLean is a ski mountaineer who specializes in climbing high and then flying down the cracks in the mountains, the chutes of snow and ice. We asked Paumgarten to describe the snow chutes.
It's basically something that's steep and narrow, you know, narrow meaning that there are rocks on either side, usually, or cliffs. And, you know, it's sort of like a funnel down through the snow and down the side of the mountain. But, you know, you have to make tight turns, and if you fall, you get into quite a bit of trouble.
Your protagonist, Andrew McLean, says, adds two words to that description. He says, short, stout, steep, and scary. How was it that Andrew McLean trusted you enough to take you along on some of these chute descents in Utah?
That's a good question. I kind of wondered about that myself. I probably, you know, did well enough not to completely embarrass myself, and we just kind of worked our way up to it that first morning. And you know, what we did was, you know, by the standards of the real extreme skiers, it was probably not a huge deal. But sometimes when you're standing up there, and if you have a moment of clarity, it can seem like a pretty big deal.
I'll bet. Did you tell him right away that your grandfather, who competed for Austria in the Winter Olympics in 1928 and the 1932 Winter Games, was eventually killed, 1952. Did you tell him that story?
I did, in an effort to convey to him that, you know, that there was maybe some voodoo hanging around my head and that I didn't want to die on this particular trip. So, I told him these stories. There are some other stories about my family in order to perhaps scare him into not scaring me.
Scare him into not scaring you.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good tactic.
I'm not sure it worked. I told him these stories, and he chose to see them as I think I write somewhere, you know, evidence of the infatuation with skiing rather than the consequences of it.
Also, your grandfather's daughter, your aunt, Mita Burden, died in 1972 on Aspen Mountain in Colorado, and she was skiing out of bounds. And you write that had she been in an argument with her husband and went off to ski?
She'd been in an argument with someone, and I'm told she had a bit of a temper, and so she, in a bit of a fit of rage, she went off by herself into this area where she shouldn't have gone and got caught in an avalanche and was buried and, you know, was found much later that night, found dead.
Why then would you find yourself in a situation skiing with your father again, out of bounds on a mountain, and an avalanche begins, and you think you've lost your father? Why would that happen? Why would the family continue to ski?
Well, I was just a kid, so I didn't know any better. I was 11 years old, but already in thrall to this kind of thing, skiing in the backcountry. It's basically a consequence of the love for the skiing. It sounds corny, but it's a wonderful thing to be able to do, to be out there in the mountains and be able to cover, you know, vast quantities of terrain. And it's fun and joyful and sort of sublime, and you find yourself sometimes doing things you shouldn't be doing out of the love for it.
An article like this and a discussion like this always gets to sort of a metaphysical question at the end as to why do it, and, you know, is this the way you're going to die? And Andrew McLean's got an interesting way to analyze this, and it has to do with being able to foresee your death.
Perhaps I should read his take on it instead. What do you think?
Okay, yeah.
Yes, okay. He said to me, I often torment myself with a theoretical question. What if you knew how and when you were going to die? If it was in an avalanche or falling to your death, then you'd have to keep skiing, as you've already seen the end. If it was in your sleep at a ripe old age, then you'd have to keep skiing as well, since you know you were safe. The end result is the same. Keep making turns. I think there's a flaw in that, but I can't quite figure out what it is.
Keep making turns.
But I agree with him. Keep skiing.
Well, let me take you back to the very beginning of our discussion, when we were talking about the chutes. I want to know what it's like when you're about a third of the way, you've launched yourself and you're about a third of the way down the scariest, fastest, iciest thing that you've ever skied. What are you feeling like?
Well, if it is the scariest, fastest, iciest thing I've ever have ever skied, I'll probably feel very, very afraid. I'll be miserable. But most of the time, it's not that bad. It's beautiful, and you're very happy to be there, and you're in a sort of rabid state of enjoyment. You know, kind of can't get enough, like eating a really good cheeseburger. You just want to gobble it up when it's good. But if it's really, really scary, then I don't like that feeling much. Some people do. I don't like to be terrified. I'm afraid of being afraid.
We're talking with Nick Palmgarten. His article in the New Yorker magazine is called Dangerous Game, A Ski Mountaineer and a History of Tragedy. Thank you, Mr. Palmgarten.
Thank you.